This is a Big Theory Podcast.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I think I'm ready now to tell you this story, but I need your support because it's pretty embarrassing for me.
Oh, I can handle embarrassing for you. I thought it was going to be like embarrassing for me or embarrassing for us somehow. I'm fine with embarrassing for you.
What I'm saying is I need your support, not can you handle it?
Oh, okay.
Like, I need you to be supportive, like, through the telling of the story. And it's, like, delicate. So I've already told you the first half of this story. But I'm gonna have to retell it to you with some edits, because the true, like, pure force of the story is the first half of it, which happened about a month ago. It's too embarrassing, but I'll give you sort of an expurgated version, which you'll be aware of because you know the full story. But basically, here's the thing: a thing that you know about me that maybe our listeners don't know. Sometimes, like, in moments of reflection, of deep reflection, when I'm alone with myself and thinking my thoughts, as, I don't know, in the shower, going for a run, you know, like, fully lost in thought, I will shout things sometimes.
You'll yell. Yeah, you'll kind of yell.
And people at work have noticed it. I'll be like, stupid.
It's usually, it's probably... I don't know what kind of ailment it is. It's definitely an ailment, but it's usually self-abuse. Negativity.
Yeah.
Negativity aimed at yourself.
I'll be deep in thought, and I'll remember...
Or you say fuck a duck. You say fuck a duck a lot.
Fuck a duck I say a lot, yeah. I'll remember either an embarrassing moment, or like something I've forgotten to do, or something I did wrong, or something I wish I'd done differently, and I'll say something like, stupid fucker!
Yeah,
and sometimes I'll say it quite loudly, and which is fine because it only happens when I'm alone.
No,
but when it's not fine is when I think I'm alone, but I'm not, and that's when sort of the trouble can start.
Yeah,
but so
I have noticed that. I've picked up on that.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are a lot of people for whom this is true. So maybe this is relatable if you're a listener. And if not, then, you know, it's as embarrassing for me as it seems to you. It's a weird thing that I do. But famously to you and me, because I told you this story when it happened, I go running in my neighborhood. And, you know, running is kind of a perfect time for this, because I'm like listening to music, I'm deep in thought, my body is otherwise occupied.
You're also like a tough New Yorker now, you know you're supposed to be out there like shouting people on the streets.
So I'm running in my neighborhood, you know, in my little running gear with my little, you know, cute little marathon advertisement shirt, running through the beautiful neighborhood here in New York, and I'll bleep that, I guess, because we don't want to triangulate. As you know, the thing happens where, like, I suddenly remember that I, you know, deeply embarrassed myself the day before, and it suddenly pops into my head, and I do one of those things. I say something like, and I won't say the actual thing because it really was too embarrassing to say, but something like, "You fucking shit weasel!"
Yeah.
And at the moment that I yell this out of the blue, piercing the, you know, the crisp air of... And then I will again bleep that.
Yeah.
I round a corner and a man is sitting on his deck holding a newspaper, having his morning coffee, looking out over the newspaper, like with like a look of just extreme disgust and like somehow disappointed. Like he's disappointed in me. Like it's like, what the fuck happened? And also now I'm somehow instantaneously disappointed in this person.
He raised his kids in that house.
You know? Something fucking terrible has happened. And I like caught his eye at that moment and like did the only thing I know how to do in that situation, where I like suddenly like unfurrow my brow, like grin big and give him a wave, like, "Hey, good morning," as if like we both didn't hear what just happened.
Oh, yeah. I would either... It's depending on like the mood I was in, I would either immediately turn around and just walk away or run away.
I'm already running,
and probably never go that way ever again.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing I would do is maybe pretend I was on a call, because I surely had like Bluetooth headphones in. And I'm like, oh, sorry. I just like...
I thought about that. I thought about it for the rest of the run. And
I lost a big bet.
On my way back, I thought seriously about like pretending to be like, oh, well, yeah, sorry. I'm getting another call right now. So I call something just like very obviously that's happening. But like I ended up not going through with that charade because it's like, even if you believed it, like I'm still like calling someone on this call like a weird fucking name, like really angrily. And it's still like, it's slightly less embarrassing, but still like, what's with this guy? You know, like he's going,
you get
a
read on him. You could say like, oh, sorry, the Commanders lost.
yeah, that should have, I should have turned to the guy on the porch and been like, can you believe that these fucking Yankees, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, that remained embarrassing for me in my mind for a month, and then I forgot
about
it.
And it caused an expletive. It caused one of your outbursts.
Oh, almost certainly. Yeah. But so then I did forget about it. But I've been better since then. Like when I'm on my little runs, I'm like, you can't do that thing. Just in general, even if you think you're alone. But a few days ago, I was going on a run on the same route. And this is really not my fault. This is not my fault. I was listening to a music podcast about indie rock, which, you know, that's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I do. I was listening to an indie rock music podcast, and the two men,
typical,
were the two 40-year-old men who were talking about indie rock, made the statement, which is unequivocal. I think everyone will agree. Guided by Voices is a very difficult band to get into because they have such a extensive back catalog.
I definitely know Guided by Voices, but tell me, Jack, from your editorial perspective, while you finish your discussion, just so I can just get a little taste, if I'm going to put on one Guided by Voices song in the background just so I can get a little sip, what am I putting on?
Maybe I Am a Scientist. That's a good starter for Guided by Voices. That's what they're having that discussion. You know, these guys have like 40 fucking albums. Where do you start? And one of the men said,
Pete music video.
Knows that like if you want to like get into Guided by Voices, like the obvious place to start is B-1000, which is
the 1994 album.
One of their great albums. Yeah. It was at this moment that I, virulently disagreeing with this take,
Matador Records,
yelled out as loud as I could, Alien Lanes!
Alien what?
Alien Lanes. And at that very moment, I rounded the corner and the same fucking looking over his fucking newspaper, drinking his coffee, fucking catches my eye. What the fuck is wrong with you? But anyway, if you're interested in getting into Guided by Voices, you can't go wrong with either Alien Lanes or B-1000. They're both great albums, but I would say Alien Lanes. It just kind of edges it out.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my tale.
It seems like they're having fun in the music video. They're like shooting a b-ball.
It's a good song, right?
Guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome back. I guess this is sort of like directed by Joss Whedon, and we're sort of in the back of the Black Escalade having that conversation. Like,
okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
En route, you know?
It's a long
drive. And
it's
a little charming.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, this one's, I guess, a little funny or whatever.
Maybe it's more like Tarantino.
Oh, yeah. There's feet stuff.
Sure, fine. Yeah, there's some feet. Imagine that there was some feet stuff. Like, so, like, that story's happening. Everyone's like, this is a funny story. Like, the car explodes. Suddenly.
Escalade, like, T-bones. Jackknifes, yeah.
Jackknifes.
And goes over on its wheels. And, like, we're, like, harnessed in. Like, what's going on? You know? And we step out, and it's... our old nemesis, Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan.
Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan, who we thought
and
we fucking took care of.
Get to work. I pull out my like cyber katana and I like slot in my like samurai warfare Nero chip.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I've got like one of those like Daft Punk helmets that just like appears around my head.
That's
you
cool.
know?
And what else? Yeah. Like a Tron cyber cycle.
Yeah. We're like just like that's our reflex.
And we fly at this guy, right?
Yeah.
What? We're like hammering away at him. He's like laying us out, but we're like keeping up just a little bit.
Yeah.
And right when we think we've got him, like, we're just teetering. We're out of like potions. Like we're out of, you know, Phoenix Downs.
Yeah.
His health is like, you know, right in the red. He says, I'm not,
not even this film's main Jack Ryan.
Right. And that's
and
what
then, like,
that's
his health
just
bar,
enough
like,
for him
refills.
To get away. Yeah.
And like in his place, like he like erupts in a holy glow.
Yeah.
And when it dims down, it's Harrison Ford. It's Jack Ryan.
It's Harrison Ford's Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And then they probably get away because we have got to do
the rest
of
the
movie.
Yeah. So it gives us time to recover, but now we can, we'll have to hunt him. I guess we've, well, I don't know where we are. I've lost track. Oh, we were in a flipped over Escalade.
We're in a flipped over jackknife.
We'll just call like an
Escalade.
Uber.
Yeah. And our, you know,
we have
like
to get back
we're,
to the field
we're
office.
Standing down. Yeah. Somewhat the worse for wear. We got to get back to the field office, but it turns out that the hunt for the hunks of the hunt for Red October continues apace. And if some of the hunks that we hunted, it seems like we can't put them down for good. They've reemerged.
And they brought back up new hunks.
Yeah,
I would say maybe the hunkiest.
Yeah, the hunkiest hunk.
Diegetically and non-diegetically.
Well,
of
and
them
the,
all.
Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan. Is even hunkier than the last one
treat.
We hunted, and it's complicated.
And he's just a little, like, side dish, you know?
Yeah.
yeah, it's a good movie. It's full of hunks, and the hunting was good, or it's about to be good.
The hunk hunting was good, and I guess for people who are just catching up, we're in the middle of a content block. It's called The Hunt
for
the
Well,
the
show's
the
called Strange
October.
Bedfellows, and the premise is where dudes, can you believe it, and we're doing romance movies, and we used to do the books, too. Can you believe it?
But they're too long.
We do content blocks in this content block because it's the autumn is...
Yeah. It's the fall.
Our October hunt.
Yeah, for the hunts of
for the
Red
hunks.
October. For the hunks.
For the hunt of Red October.
And we're hunk hunters, and we're hunting all the hunks in the hunt for Red October throughout the romance movies
is,
that they've done.
Agent Tanner Greenring.
Yeah.
My code name is Nutmeg.
Okay, yeah, and I'm Agent Jack Shepard. I guess my code name is Shit Weasel. Why not? Instead of on the brain at the moment. Yeah, and we're hunting hunks. We're hunk hunters, and this week we got more than we bargained for because we were hunting the Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan into 1980-somethings, judging by the hairstyles, working girl. And what did we find? Harrison Ford's Jack Ryan. Unexpected. And some others. Should we do our hit segments called Dramatis Personae? Where we, what's
like
happening to you?
Smoke from the crash is starting to clear. You know?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Now we're
like
just...
the two main hunks have, like, they're gone.
Yeah.
But they've left their hunk henchmen behind.
There's
so
a lot
talk
of
about
hunks.
The other hunks.
Let's talk about the other hunks in this film. Yeah,
well,
I think
non-hunks
that's probably...
Well, there's
non-hunks, too. Yeah, there's hunks. There's...
Melanie Griffiths is in it.
Melanie Griffiths is in it, and she is fabulous. My goodness. I thought she was so good in this. And who else is in it? K-Pax.
K-Pax is in it.
Unexpected.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Look, he's young.
Yeah.
Everyone's little
K-Pax.
Babies.
Everyone's K-Pax, little babies in this.
Alec
young
Baldwin.
K-Pax.
The guy who tried to get me fired from Major Media Company's sister is in this one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we won't say who. We won't say who it is. We don't want to say, we don't want to reveal the name of the man who did try to get you fired from Major Media Company for making fun of his movie.
He didn't. We shouldn't libel him.
He did.
I did not get
He didn't
fired.
Succeed in getting you fired, but he did try.
I don't remember that, and I wouldn't say that.
But without revealing who that is, we will say that he has a famous sister called Jane Cusack, who's in this movie.
Joan.
Joan Cusack.
Oh, sorry. Are you trying to, like,
obfuscate? Joan Cusack's in this one. K-Pax is in it. Who else?
David Duchovny.
Harrison Ford's Jack Ryan. David Duchovny is in it for 1 second. But it's so short that we had to, when we were watching it in my family, I'm sure you did the same, we had to rewind and pause the frame that David Duchovny is in order to confirm that he was, in fact, in the film. But he's just smiling in the background at a surprise party.
Ancillary hunk.
Yeah.
In hunk. No way related to... The Hunt for Red
I kind
October
of wish that
Jack
David
Ryan.
Duchovny had been in The Hunt for Red October, because this would have been a funny choice given how much he's
quickly
in this
he
film.
Was in it. Timothy Carhart.
Yes. Okay, who's that?
Looking.
Okay, you're just naming guys from IMDb now.
His IMDb picture is like still where he's clearly in the background, and
yeah,
it's kind of blurry, and he's not even in the frame.
Right.
So I think he's like does mostly small roles, but he's in both this and The Hunt for Red October. Let me tell you what he's called in both. Maybe we can find some symmetry.
Okay.
When did this movie come out?
1980 something, wow, judging by the hairstyles.
Yeah, never stopped working. Journeyman. He played Bill Steiner in 1990's The Hunt for Red October.
Oh, wait. So he's another hunk from The Hunt for Red October.
And in Working Girl, he played Tim Draper as Tim Carhart.
What the fuck? So now I guess cut scene to like we're back at HQ, like working furiously on our computers. Or we don't work on computers. We're like walking around, and
like
the tech guy
report.
Is working on his computers, and he's like,
"Sir,
I think
you'll
want
to
see
this."
You know,
put it on my HUD.
Put it on, yeah. Put it up on the
like
big screen.
Another like cyber thing in the back of my.
There's more hunks from The Hunt for Red October. Not only are there two Jack Ryans in this one, there's more hunks from The Hunt for Red October that we didn't even know about.
2020. He was in Yellowstone. He plays fucking A.G. Stewart in Yellowstone. That seems big.
Which also sometimes has Harrison Ford's Jack Ryan in it, doesn't it?
Wow, and Kevin Costner from
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Yeah.
With hunk Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Wow, it's such a web. This is like, when you're a hunk hunter like us.
Yeah, it's God, all
they
connected.
Do like a Discovery Channel show about us. You get so stuck up in this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
people
you
think we're
one
like.
Hunt down and it's just like, oh, you just like cut the cap off like a hunk nest that was like spewing.
Hunks
out.
All the way down. Yeah, people think that we're paranoid, but. You're not paranoid if, you know, if it's all, there's a hunk nest, when there's a hunk nest, as they say, right?
Working Girl!
Yeah. Working Girl, I'll just say up front, what a fantastic film. It's fucking great. It's so
fun. Didn't know what to expect, never heard of it.
Yeah.
you said this is the reason for the season, right?
It's a reason for the season. It's along with the film Bull Durham. Starring hunk Kevin Costner.
Can't wait for
it's
that
one. The reason that my wife, Sarah, suggested that we do Hunks for Red October, though I don't think the way that we've done it is the way that she envisioned it.
Movies that share stars. Did you know that IMDb has this?
Yeah.
What a feature.
Yeah.
Collaborations search. So what's the title one? Bull Durham.
Yeah.
Sorry to let you in on how the sausage is made, everyone.
Oh, so we can see if Bull Durham has a hunk from The Hunt for Red October.
And The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
Bull Durham was 1988?
Yeah.
Whew.
It's a good movie. It's funny.
No results. We can look for Jack Ryan in the cast.
Yeah, we'll maybe have to look for Jack Ryan in the cast. Yeah, but that might be hard. I guess you can see. I don't think there's going to be... There are limited Jack Ryans.
What am I, the tech guy?
Sorry, Agent Shitweasel. He took my keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
First you make me do all the strategy work, and now I'm doing all the tech work, too. I don't think there's any hunks in this movie. So my regards to Sarah.
Yeah, well, she should be happy if we ended up with Working Girl. Turns out Working Girl is just an absolute swarm of hunks.
You could try Tin Cup.
It's infested. Well, what I was suggesting to Sarah is if she likes Kevin Costner baseball movies, we can do Field of Dreams, which has hunk James Earl Jones in it from The Hunt for Red October.
I think that would be said, great.
No,
and
I don't
kill
like,
count okay, in that yeah, one is true. Like through the roof. It's like every baseball player who died like until that point, I think. I haven't seen the movie in a while.
I've never seen it. We should say what happens in this film, because we've only got about 5 minutes before we need to take a break, and we should give people who haven't seen it a flavor of what the film is about.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Oh, here we go. Credited in Tin Cup, 1996, and The Hunt for Red October. Nine people.
What?
This is like we just found like a, this is a hunk nest.
So we can watch Tin Cup.
I think you're going to have to at some point.
Great.
Let me look at the list.
Is that Rene Russo as well?
Anything? What's that?
Is that Rene Russo as well? Because in some ways it's like a reprise of Bull Durham.
Oh, I don't know. It's just showing me the nine people who are just showing in common with Red October, and they're, I think, all in the music department. Location management.
Oh, I didn't realize we were allowed to hunt hunks who are like not actually like in the film.
Well, I guess, hope we do, because yeah, I just got an update on my HUD.
Okay,
what are we in right now? Remind me.
What we're like in HQ? Is that what you mean?
We're
like
in
role
HQ,
play wise.
Yeah.
The tech guy has been talking this whole time, but we like long since stopped paying attention.
Did you get any of that, Agent Nutmeg?
Over all of our comms, you know, we're like working all of this out. I've just found this hunk nest.
Yeah.
And over our comms, all the screens and everything all of a sudden start to scramble, and we just hear this like eerie music from Working Girl, sort of like interlaced with the music from The Hunt for Red October.
Okay. I hear
screeching through. We all throw off our headsets.
Yeah. This is just me, but I hear in my headset the screams of me trying to edit this episode.
Oh, I know,
as
right?
You're saying that.
And then as we throw off our headsets, we realize that it's not coming from our headsets, it's coming from outside.
Okay.
And as we step outside, we realize that there's another hunk out there.
Another hunk. Who
yeah,
is
we'll
it?
Have to we'll have to hunt him after this break.
Okay.
I think that'll be our final hunk, and then we can talk about the movie.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. Okay, we're back.
The music is screaming on the street, and you know Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah.
That, like, big camp truck?
Yeah. Big time.
It's that.
Yeah.
At the top, there's a big golden throne. Laid out on it, like Jabba the Hutt, is music department, internationally recognized film music coordinator with thousands of hours in front of orchestras in Hollywood and around the world, composer and conductor John Beale.
John Beale. And what?
And
what's going on with
little,
this
little, like, slave Leia leashes, he has all the other hunks.
Well, I'm looking at a picture of this dude, and he is kind of, he's like a whole snack.
And it turns out there's a third hunk in this movie. And it's him. This guy.
It's him. Unbelievable. So we've got, hang on, we've got two Jack Ryans and three hunks. That's
hunk nest.
It's a hunk nest, folks.
Yeah.
Wow, that's, we stumbled right onto one.
This is, that's a hunk nest, folks. Puts in his, like, neuro chip.
We thought this was just going to be a routine mission.
Jack says, I'm getting too old for this.
God damn it, I was 2 weeks from retirement.
What happens in this movie? It's not all about hunks. It is honestly all about hunks.
It's all about hunks. It's all about Melanie Griffith. Sigourney
There's
Weaver.
A scene where,
Ripley is in this.
Harrison
one.
Ford. She's in it a lot.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Harrison Ford just gratuitously gets undressed and
shirt off for no reason
in front of a bunch of, like, clapping and, like, hooting women.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
it's really good.
Harrison Ford is great. He's playing Han Solo in this one.
Yeah, he's just chopping it up and having fun. He's playing sort of like halfway between. He's playing the little Venn diagram between the character he was in. Was he in The Firm? Which one of the Clear and Present Danger? Which one was he a businessman in?
Which one is Harrison Ford a businessman in? Which movie?
Yeah, one of those Tom Clancy or John Grisham movies.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. And Indiana Jones, because he's a little like.
Yeah.
He's a little erudite, you know?
He's a little erudite in this one. He's very charming. We should say a little bit about the film. So Melanie Griffith is working her way up, but she's an admin at this juncture, and she is working her way up to become, she wants to, like, she has big ideas for business.
Yeah, she sees connections where no one else can because she reads the like People magazine,
but like the hedge fund bros that are working with her are terrible sexist assholes. They offer her, the film opens with them offering her like what seems like a promotion opportunity, but it's actually just they're like trying to set her up with K-Pax, who's gonna like take advantage of her in a limo, but doesn't. And so that's like the men's world that she lives in. She gets transferred after like really kind of burning those guys pretty hard.
Oh yeah, she like puts up on like the stock ticker like my boss has like a tiny penis or something.
Tess. I know. You don't get ahead in this world by calling your boss a pimp.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and so she's transferred and then she gets to work for girl boss Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She knows how to make things happen. She doesn't apologize for anything.
Right.
She sleeps with whom she wants to because she wants to.
And she's making it in a man's world. And I thought she was going to be nice, but no, she's not. She connivingly steals Melanie Griffith's good idea for like a merger situation that no one else had thought of and steals it. Yes.
Let's do. Do we have a segment for when we get into the mind of the hunk? Because I kind of want to do a side segment off of that. So it's kind of tricky to introduce a new segment and then because I want to get into the mind of Sigourney Weaver in this movie.
Okay, that's fine.
She's
kind
of a hunk. Something kind of hunky about being a girl boss, right?
Yeah. That's super. There's nothing hunkier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's inside the mind. Yeah. Okay. Like it's like inner space.
Oh, yeah, or like being John Malkovich.
Yeah, maybe more like that.
Let's merge, you and I. Think of it, darling. Can Big Jack come out to play?
So we're being Sigourney right now, right?
Yeah.
We're getting in her mind, and what's happening?
She has made her way up in a man's world.
Yeah.
To become a girl boss.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
We're in favor of that.
Knows how to get things done. She's got herself quite a catch. Beautiful man, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, spoiler.
Jack Ryan.
It's sort of not revealed, that it's Harrison Ford until pretty late in the movie. She talks about, like, oh, I think he's going to propose, that he's my special beau. But we don't know that it's... It ends up being a pretty complicating factor when we discover
that it's Harrison
Ford.
Of course, Jack. But you remember that we are in the mind
of... Oh, right, we're
Sigourney Weaver.
Okay, yeah.
So we, of course, know that we're in love with
Harrison Ford.
Yeah. His name in this movie. And he does something, mergers and acquisitions, that's what we all do.
Yeah.
You are about to be proposed to. Everything is clicking into place.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to go on vacation. You hire a new assistant. She's great, bright. Yeah. You're really looking forward to mentoring her.
Yeah.
Like, showing her the ropes, teaching her how to, like, get ahead without, like, burning bridges, because, like, it's so difficult for a woman in this world.
Yeah.
You are skiing. You break your leg.
Yeah.
And you're put up for, like, 2 weeks.
Right.
You still manage to get a lot done. You're
charming everyone in the
assistant,
hospital.
Yeah, and your assistant really steps in and helps out with this, like, Jack Ryan deal. You get back to find that not only has your, like, near fiance been cheating on you with your assistant, but your assistant
has done the deal.
Like, snaked you.
Yeah.
To do your deal. Now that's happened, right?
Yeah. Who's to blame? Is
Who's
that
blame?
The question?
Yeah.
I think we can
warp out of her mind. You know, like,
oh God. It's extremely destabilizing. Having been in there, you really took me there. I completely agree with you. Like, the crux of the movie is that, like, it's Melanie Griffith's idea, and then Sigourney uses it without giving her credit. But, like, that's broadly fine.
Yeah, like, and then just, also, like, says to her at some point, like, just so you know, like, I shared that idea, and if they bite on it, like, I'm going to bring you in on it.
Did you happen to see this?
What is it?
It's an outline of your idea for a Trask radio acquisition. I was planning to send it over to Jack Traynor to have a look. I thought I'd give your idea one last go around. It just occurs to me, looking at it, that it reads as though it were my idea. See, Jack got burned once. He was accused of stealing a plan for taking a company private. He's very sticky about the ethics of reviewing other people's formative strategies. He wouldn't have looked at it if I'd said it was from a colleague, and I couldn't very well say it was his secretary's notion. Anyway, the point is, Tess, that I'm still trying to get you heard.
Yeah.
But her reaction is a little
It's a little suspect. Yeah, yeah.
She has sort of a big reaction and, like, essentially decimates the life of Melanie Griffith until...
Yeah, I think we're supposed to think that Sigourney Weaver is evil to the core, but in retrospect, it doesn't seem that bad what she did, which is she takes Melanie Griffith's good idea that Melanie Griffith gave her for free as her underling and does the idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, she doesn't, because she breaks her leg. Melanie Griffith pretends to be Sigourney Weaver, does the idea, does the big acquisition, pretends that she's not a secretary, but in fact a big boss girl. What do we say?
Girl boss. Hashtag.
Boss girl kind of makes more sense, doesn't it?
It's
boss baby. They don't call it baby boss, do they?
Yeah, boss baby.
Yeah.
And then she...
falls in love with Harrison Ford, makes it big in a man's world. They go to... she gets a big office in the World Trade Center.
Oh, yeah. So they should say... Yeah. Well, yeah.
Doesn't she?
We should say...
What's the year?
1988.
She'll be fine. Maybe she'll have moved on.
The movie ends. Was it a super long movie? I don't think it was a super long movie, but it ends.
And the film does end, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It resolves. She proves that it was her idea all along. She's on the account. Sigourney's off the account. She's in love with Jack Ryan. They're going to get married and have babies.
Yeah.
I'll hit stop on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
And there's still, like, 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I guess the credits are long or something. And then it just cuts to the next scene where she just shows up at work the next day.
Yeah.
And they have a whole fantasy sequence where she thinks the secretary's desk is her desk and that the job she's gotten at Jack Ryan's company
is as a secretary.
Her, yeah.
I guess she, like, didn't negotiate. Despite being a girl boss, she didn't negotiate her salary or ask what the title and job responsibilities would be.
Yeah.
She was just like, yes, I'll take a job.
She's sort of enchanted to learn that it's her secretary.
And she has the window
office. The corner office is hers. Yeah.
And the secretary is like, I'm sorry, ma'am. And she's like, no, I consider you an equal partner.
Yeah. Call me girl boss.
Call me girl boss. I would like to, if with your permission, do a big hit segment now that we've said the movie. I think pretty adequately. Everyone
and
should watch it.
Hunted the Hunks.
We hunted the Hunks. Yeah, we haven't. I don't think we got them all necessarily, but we've done a good job. We went deep inside the mind of Sigourney Weaver to kind of gather evidence. We found ourselves a couple Jack Ryans, and then we're just going to smoke out the rest of this hunk nest, and then hopefully that'll be the end of it. And we can move on to our winter content block.
We'll have the cleanup squad come in and sort of like flush out some of those ancillary hunks.
Yeah. it's no shade on the hardworking people over at Amazon Prime and other streaming networks who write the blurbs that tell us what these films are going to be about. But they could all do a better job. And in fact, we could do a better job, and we will do a better job. We'll show them how it's done.
Be the change you want to see in the world. That's what Gandhi said, and this is what he was talking about when he said it.
He was talking about our hit segment. It's called the
Blurb-betterers.
Where we better the blurb, and we take the blurb that they have and we make it better. And this one is particularly bad, and I've got a few directional ideas about how we can fix it, but let me read it to
you. Great. Okay.
An ambitious secretary masquerades as her boss in a successful business deal, winning her boss's boyfriend in the process. But what will happen when her identity is revealed? With Sigourney Weaver, Alec Baldwin. This is my main note on this. From the beginning, the first thing that jumps out at me, and it's even stated in the film, there's a moment where, dream sequence that you're talking about, the new admin for Melanie Griffith does ask her not to call her as secretary.
That's your desk.
I don't think so.
Oh, yes. I sit out here.
Sorry, I thought the secretary would sit out here.
That's right. I'm the secretary. If it's okay, I prefer assistant.
Even in the 80s, that was sort of like not like in fashion anymore.
Call me an assistant.
So I think we got to fix that. And so this thing starts out of the gate with an ambitious secretary. What do you think about an ambitious working girl?
I think that's good branding.
Yeah, it's good branding for the film. And then I was thinking we could go a step further.
I think
further.
We could also... Oh, yeah, please.
I think ambitious is also like kind of shady in a way where it's wrong to have ambition.
Yeah.
So like, in fact, being ambitious is just like, that's part of the job. If this were a man, we wouldn't say he's ambitious. We would just say he's doing his job. Yeah. So what about a working
Jesus.
Girl?
I didn't realize Andrew, what's his name?
Tate?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was making a progressive statement, but maybe it came out wrong. A working girl.
Okay.
I was going to say, and this is about as far as I got, but instead of masquerades as her boss, which is like, I don't know, again, it just feels like a little bit shady towards Melanie Griffith, who's just like trying to get ahead. And it also
didn't do that. I think she used her own name throughout.
And it elides the fact that the important fact that her boss in this case is a boss. What do we say? Boss girl or girl boss? Is a girl boss.
I think it works.
So what about instead of all of that loaded sentiment, a working girl works as a girl.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love how efficient it is. It gives us plenty of room to do more, but I'll say this. I don't think we need to.
You think that should be the whole thing? Well, let's go through it and see if there's any more we can...
What else was there to mine out? Because I also didn't love either their choice of featured actors at the end, nor did I love the way they were presented. So I want to work on that.
The next line is... Masquerades as her boss in a successful business deal. You know what's an easier, a better way to say successful is just occurring for me? Working.
Oh, yeah.
It works.
It works.
So, and I guess another way of saying business, honestly, is working, too.
Yeah.
And then deal, you could say, with working in the sense of like a magical working, you know?
Yeah.
So tell me if this sounds bad. A working girl works as a girl in a working.
I think it's good... Technically,
yeah.
It's not. Is it readable?
It came out pretty easy for me.
Yeah, it seemed rehearsed.
Well,
I think it's fine. Maybe the working at the end is really where I'm getting a little gummed up.
Okay, what do you like? But I mean, we're a little bit committed to kind of keeping it in the realm of like trying to use words like working and girl for the most part.
What are the three different workings represent? Give me the like cipher for each
successful
word that they're
business
stepping.
Deal.
Yeah.
Successful is working. Business is working. And a deal is a kind of a working, like, as in the sense of like, you know what, you know how they say that in fantasy novels, like, oh, I've made a great working. Is it the last working you don't like? Is that the one that's sticking for you? Do you want to fix that? Because working is right. Successful.
I'm saying
business.
If I can wedge a girl in edgewise anywhere in there just to break up some of the monotony, you know? And maybe business doesn't become working. Maybe it becomes girl
working.
What about
girl boss? So a working girl boss working? Okay, works as a girl boss.
Perfect.
In a working girl boss working. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
So the next line is winning her boss's boyfriend in the process.
Well,
I
he's also
say,
a boss, so it could be boss's boss friend.
Oh, that's good. What about working to win her girl boss's?
Yeah.
Working boy?
Working boy boss.
That's good. Working boy boss. In the process, should we just say in the working for that, or does that feel a little bit too much?
In the working process, I think there we can get a little, we can drop it down to a little more casual just to maintain that rhythm.
Okay, we can just say at work.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, and then so the next line is, but what will, so we're saying the same, guys, we're saying the same thing you said, but we're saying it better. It's the same fucking thing. We're using your words and we're just
taking the formula and we're plugging different integers in, you know?
Yeah. So the next line is, but what will happen when her identity is revealed? What about, but will it work?
Oh, that's pretty good. We could throw a little sass on it and be like, but girl, will it work?
I like that. But girl, will it work? What about like, yes, boss?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next line is, with Sigourney Weaver, comma, Alec Baldwin. Those aren't the main people in
it. I don't love it.
It's mainly Melanie Griffith. And so with working girls, Melanie Griffith, or can we just say with working girl?
I think we can say with working girls, working girl.
Yeah.
And then who else was in it? Anyone
with
else?
Working girls, working girl, and working girls, working girl boss. That's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. And boy boss.
And working girls, boy boss. And then we can say a new sentence and say, and Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay. I think this is pretty good.
And the sister of the guy who almost got Tanner fired from. That's probably too wordy. That's going to add a lot of length to the plural.
That might be a little bit much. Should I say parentheses featuring David Duchovny?
Yeah, probably. We want to feature. We want to get as many hunks up on the marquee as possible.
Okay, tell me if this makes sense and sounds better than the thing that they did.
Yeah, yeah.
A working girl works as a girl boss, and a working girl boss working to win her girl boss's working boy boss at work. But girl, will it work? Yes, boss. With working girls, working girl, working girls, girl boss, and working girls, boy boss, and Alec Baldwin featuring David Duchovny.
I think that's great.
I think it's fucking wonderful. It says the same fucking thing. It does a good job of advertising the title of the movie and getting it stuck in your head, and it is titillating.
I think a skilled like trailer cutter could also find little snatches of that to like pull out and feature on like a title card somewhere, you know?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, imagine it read in that like, in a world.
Yeah. Good. What else do we have left to do? We've hunted all the hunks.
We've hunted all the hunks.
We've bettered all the blurbs.
We do have a hit segment where we talk about the Rotten Tomato. Well, you don't know about this. Tanner, I should tell you.
Wait, you do?
I have a hit segment.
That's fun. Can I do it?
No. It's like, it's not that I don't want you to or that I think you'd be bad at it, but it would be like weird. It would be weird for the guy who does do it
Is it the bubble guy?
Yeah, it's the bubble guy. It's Arbiter Tanner.
Oh.
It's like one of like everyone's favorites.
That's okay. I do cool things in the future when I'm not here. Okay. I actually do cool things with for a future version of you. Okay. He's pucked. But like we hang out.
Okay, fine. You hang out with the puck version, the frozen puck of me. That sounds nice. Why don't you go and do that? I'll let you go. I'll bring Arbiter Tanner in here. Arbiter Tanner, welcome. Thank you. This week we're talking about working girls. Sorry to get right into it, but we got to do the work.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize that girls couldn't work in your time.
In our time, it's still like not quite there.
Girls can do whatever they want in my time.
That's nice.
Yeah.
In my time, girls can do whatever they want, and we call it being a girl boss.
Wow.
And this is our hit segment where we talk about the Rotten Tomatoes reviews of the film. It's called On the One Hand.
I know.
And so I've collected a few positive,
the only
middling,
thing
and
you call me in for every week.
Yeah. Negative reviews.
I have
of the
other
film.
Interests.
That's not in the purview of this podcast.
If you ever wanted to let the other dude do this one and call me in for one of the other things, I would love to take a swing at one of them.
Do you think you could be better a blurb?
Mm-hmm.
Highly doubt it. You should have seen what we did with Working Girl. It was a fucking masterpiece.
seemed like a lot of pre-pro.
What I'd like to do is begin with the positive reviews of the film in a segment within a segment that we call On the One Hand. I collected a couple of these. They're both from the Hacker Collective Anonymous. The first one is from the Hacker Collective Anonymous, a representative of, same, in Guy Fawkes' mask, who gave this film 5 stars on November 20th, 2014, with the following review in all caps. And there's a lot of punctuation. First word is in quotes.
Good.
After the second word, there's an ellipsis. And after the final word, there's 3 exclamation points. And it's all caps. So here's what we've got. Light, that's in quotes. Comedy, ... Cook to the max!
Say that one again.
Light.
Got
comedy.
Yeah.
Cooked to the max.
Okay. That's it?
That's the review.
That's the entire thing.
That's the very enthusiastic review of this film.
Yeah. Lights?
Lights.
I'm thinking?
I think they're describing it. They're saying,
oh, it's a light comedy.
Yeah, but is it light?
Yeah.
Quote unquote? No, it's not. I guess it's dark?
I didn't find it very dark.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the review. Cooked
right.
to the max. I think it stands by itself. It's beautiful. No notes. The next review is from someone from the Hacker Collective Anonymous, who gave this film 5 stars on December 30th, 2007, with the following review. So, wait, where are the aliens?
Why do they think there's aliens? Is there like another?
Do you think it's because of David
Duchovny? Earth Girls Aren't Easy?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they thought it was Earth Girls Aren't Easy.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't know.
It is. And actually, Earth Girls Are Easy, because it is an easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Working Girls is also the name of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, if you count a 1974 American sexploitation film.
Okay.
Seven films.
Of them have ancient aliens in them?
No.
Okay. Weird. Maybe it's David Duchovny. I'd like to feature for you a segment where we talk about the middling reviews of films called On the Fence Hand. This first one is from a member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous, who gave this film 4 stars on November 22nd, 2020. And what they have said is, let me tell you what's not working, girl. That hair.
That's that sad. Whose hair?
I think it's Melanie's hair. It's pretty bad.
Her
and then they've done
great.
They've done the like emoji where it's like someone's painting their nails.
Oh, yeah.
I liked this review.
Throwing shade. Yeah.
Yeah. The haircuts in the film are pretty bad, and there's like a funny moment where I had to chuckle, where like Melanie Griffith's hair is like fucking insane, but then she like, after she decides to become a girl boss, she like goes to do a makeover and gets a haircut, and like her hair is still insane. But
yeah, it's 1988.
I think like from the point of view of the film, it's like, haha, wasn't it crazy before, and now it's like good. But it's like, no, it's still pretty fucking crazy. Like all of the hair in this film is wild.
Yeah.
Next review, middling review, is from a member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous, who gave the film 3.5 stars on August 7th, 2016. The following review, July 20th, 2016, Nikki's House. Nikki
Trying to think of the name. Trying to see if it rings.
I looked it up, and I'll probably bleep it because I think it's a real person because I found him on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's just a lady.
Maybe that's where this person watched the film.
I guess so. I guess that was my assumption, but it's like kind of a weird choice to leave as like
a public
review.
Well, I don't know. It puts me in a time and place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right. Specifically Nikki's house.
What was the reviewer's name?
It's a member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous.
All right, Anonymous. I'm there.
Yeah. But you put me there. Now what?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the review.
Oh.
I mean, they said
I guess
the full
just,
name
he's like
of the
putting
person.
Me there to just sort of like experience it. You know, like this is my review. Like,
imagine this. It's July 20th, 2016. You're at Nikki's house. Nikki's who, you say? Nikki. Are you there? Okay, and you're watching Working Girl. And that's it. That's the fantasy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like I'm there.
Yeah. Now, this next review is from a member of the Hacker Collective, Anonymous, who gave this film 4 stars on June 3rd, 2010, with the following review. You, and it's just the letter U, capital U. You haven't seen Working Girl? Question mark.
Me? I have.
Yeah, I have too. Fuck you.
How many stars?
4 stars.
That's fair.
This is a segment within a segment where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. It's called On the Other Hand. First one is from a member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous, who gave this film 0.5 star on February 1st, 2008, the following review. I might like it if my wife would sit down and watch it. We have, quote unquote, played it 12 times this week. Walmart, 2 for $5.
What? You bought it twice?
I think what's going on here
what?
Is that this member of the Hacker Collective Anonymous and his wife went to Walmart. There was a 2 for $5 special. It's 2008, so it's like DVDs probably.
Working
and they
DVDs?
Bought two films from the bargain bin. One of them was Working Girl, and then he and his wife have sat down 12 separate times to try to watch it, and like for whatever reason, she like won't sit through the movie. And yeah. That has caused him to give it 0.5 star.
I wonder.
That's what I think has happened. Yeah.
I want to explore the possibility that this is like a proto Netflix and chill.
Okay. Yeah.
I think chill.
Walmart DVD bargain bin. And
I throw on Working Girl and we can't make it to the end.
Okay.
This thing is a hunk nest. Do you think that's what it means? We could also probably get that going again, you know?
Yeah. Like, that's good. Yeah. Walmart bargain bill and what? Like hunk nest.
Yeah. We could just start calling the Walmart bundle bins the hunk nests. And
that's
you go
good.
There to like go hunk hunting.
That is fucking good. Yeah. Well, let's open our own. It'll be like one of those Halloween superstores. Like every October, we will open up like a hunk hunters, like pop up store. That's good.
Yeah.
I've got. I guess just one more. It's this one's from the Hacker Collective Anonymous. It gave it 0.5 star, February 9th, 2008. Following review, in title case, damn misleading title.
Oh, I see. Working Woman.
Is that what you think it is? Or Girl Boss?
I don't know. There's no other information in the review.
Maybe is Working Girl like a euphemism for a sex worker? Is that what's going on?
I think a call girl? A working girl?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it was in title case. Weird review.
A woman who works as a prostitute.
Okay, yeah,
people
maybe
say
it
working
is.
Girl to avoid saying prostitute. But well, she's not a prostitute. She's a girl boss.
I think that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Too, but
that's
like,
what he's
she's
saying.
She's a business girl boss.
She's a business girl boss. Yeah, I didn't really get this review, and that person is definitely going to be deprived of kisses, but I'm fascinated to know who is going to be getting your sweet, sweet smooches this week. Arbiter Tanner, who gave us the best review?
I think the thing that is being told to me that I didn't know by Google when I searched Melanie Griffith is that she's the mother of former, what do we call friends of the show? Dakota Johnson from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, you mean former movie that we watched.
Yeah.
Not really friend of the show, but yeah. Yeah, I learned that too and then just like couldn't quite process it.
Huh, okay.
I think, here's what I think, and don't look it up, but I think that you'll be equally surprised by who Dakota Johnson's father is.
Oh.
Don't look it up. That's what I think.
Dwayne Johnson?
I don't know who it is.
I gotta look it up.
I've come to think there's like some like tickle at the edge of my memory that's like, not only does she have a like surprisingly famous mom, but I think she has a surprisingly dad too.
TV's Don Johnson, Nash Bridges.
Who are you going to give your kisses to, Arbiter Tanner? Because I need to send you back home.
There's nothing I love more than coming to your time and immersing myself in your culture and in your primitive ways and hearing your archaic form of English and hearing how snobby you are about it, even though it's so backwards and primitive to me.
Yeah.
But the reviewer who took me out of this primitive hellscape and brought me into 2016... to
to Nikki's house?
Nikki's house. Deserves all my kisses this week. I'm gonna port back.
Okay, goodbye. Tanner, welcome home. I missed you. I guess we have time
search
to do
search for a... Don Johnson is open on my computer.
Yeah, we have time to do a quick burn.
Dakota and Johnson's dad. Huh.
I would be remiss if I didn't say I have a head for business and a body for sin.
You say that?
I don't say it. She says it.
Oh, to whom?
Harrison Ford's Jack Ryan.
Okay.
It's just like a real banger line. I don't have any comments on it. No notes, but I just feel like you can't talk about Working Girl without saying mentioning that somebody might have a head for business and a body for sin.
Yeah. Me too. Gluttony.
Okay. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I'm a head for business, a body for sin. Sloth, can I get a nap? Am I right?
Yeah, right.
That's good. Yeah, there's something there. Yeah. We can do burns and then we have to go. Do you want me to say mine?
Yeah, you get yours up first.
Oh, one of the hunks has been hiding from us. It's Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan. We forgot to talk about him. He's her sleazy boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, and she catches cheats on him cheating on her. And
cheats
then
on her.
He
then they like
gets married to her, like, what,
best friend.
He was cheating on her with.
Joan Cusack, sister of somebody who famously, we won't say who it was, but famously did try to get Tanner fired, but failed.
No, I don't know.
You come for
I
the king.
Say that libel,
come for the king. You better not miss. Am I right?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, Joan Cusack's brother could do a better job of hunk hunting. Maybe we can show you how to do it next time.
We could go after him. I'm sure he's in a movie with one of these hunks.
We won't say who it is, but Alec Baldwin does then very sleazily like propose to her in front of a bunch of people, which is fucked up because they're broken up because he cheated on her, and that's my burn.
Hey, when are we going to toast the two of you, Mick?
Well, we haven't really discussed it. I mean, not recently.
No. You don't discuss it, boy. You just ask.
That's right.
Here?
Yeah.
Now?
Now.
Yeah. On your knees, man. Come on.
Alec Baldwin says,
Tess, will you marry me?
And Melanie Griffith says,
maybe.
And Alec Baldwin says,
that's an answer.
And Melanie Griffith says,
you want another answer? Ask another girl.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, and that's a girl boss. Ask another girl boss is my only note she should have said.
Yeah, ask another girl boss. And he's like, well, I hear Sigourney Weaver is available now. I don't have one. I'm sure I did in the moment, but I lost it.
That's fine. That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week. I'd like to thank Arbiter Tanner for dropping by to review the reviewers. Who reviews the reviewers? It's Arbiter Tanner.
Should I like push you out of the way? I grab the wheel of the Escalade.
I'm taking this one, Jack. Here are your choices this week.
Okay.
James Earl Jones is in Judge Dredd.
Is he?
Yeah.
I love that movie. Wait, with Sly or the other one?
I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm guessing Sly.
There's
I'm
one by the Sly. Guy who did The Raid. That's better.
I know. I remember we went and saw that with like a new colleague once. It was a very odd night. Actually, it was a fine night. We had a great time.
Yeah. But it was, I think if it's the night you're talking about, it was weird because the new colleague was like,
he invited himself along.
Pretty brand new and was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're going to go see a movie. He was like, oh, well, I'm not doing anything. And it was a little odd.
James Earl Jones actually does not appear to be in the. Oh, he is. He's in the. I won't. We'll have to go hunt him. But he is in 1995's Judge Dredd, starring Sylvester Stallone. So that's your first option.
Wow! Don't fucking threaten me with a good time.
Your second option is let's go. There's a final. There's a final Jack Ryan we haven't even gotten like eyes on yet. You know, like we're still gathering intel on, and it's Chris Pine.
Oh wow. He's in lots of good things. Wait, what did I see him in recently that he was so good in?
Probably Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh yeah, Dungeons and Dragons. Love that. That's what it was.
Let's find a good romance that he's in.
Okay.
Oh, here. He's in The Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement.
Okay. Great. I'm interested.
So that's your option number 2.
Yeah. Okay.
And that would be our final like check on the Jack Ryan list.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I don't think we've apprehended any of these guys, but at least like we've got our dossier.
Yeah.
And then finally, it would be I think Alec Baldwin has disappeared into the mists.
Yeah.
you know,
we won't be able to hunt him for a little bit too much lately.
Yeah. I guess we could circle back to Sam Neill, the horse whisperer. No! Ooh.
What? I do want to watch the horse whisperer.
I'm pulling the ripcord and saying, "What do you think this movie was definitely a romance, right?
Working Girl? Fuck yes, it was.
So we have every justification to do something that is less explicitly romantic.
That's true, yeah.
And we're circling back to Sam Neill.
Okay.
A mistake not to hit
Event Horizon.
Event Horizon. Don't you think?
You think
that's your third option. Time.
Well, I was going to say Princess Diaries too, but I'll allow you to make an exact decision and put Event Horizon on our horizon if now's the time. We're definitely going to watch it.
I think we've done two hard romances in a row.
Yeah.
Armageddon Working Girl.
Okay. Next week we're watching Event Horizon. It's happening.
That's two for them, one for us.
Next week we're watching Hunk.
We'll get that final Jack Ryan eventually.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But we need to circle back to those other two movies that you said. Horse Whisperer and Princess Diaries 2. Okay, next week we're going to be watching Event Horizon. It's fun where we're going. We don't need any eyes to see. And who says that?
I would wait to watch the movie
Sam
first.
Neill. You do need them? He was wrong.
I would just watch the movie first and then judge.
In retrospect, you think he probably is misstating that.
You won't need them for podcasting.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I will remind everyone, please subscribe to our Patreon. Thank you to everyone who has done that recently. It really does help to support the show. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps us going here and keeps us podcasting. And it's also fun. We're having a lot of fun in there. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone is nice and good in there. And recommend the show and rate it on various platforms.
Wherever.
I would like to say this week that we watched film we watched called Working Girl. Next week, we'll be watching another film starring one of the hunks from The Hunt for Red October in our continuing content block. Film is called Event Horizon.
Romance movie. Everyone put it on. Throw on like a steamy bubble bath.
I'm scared.
Get out the iPad mini and throw it on.
Yeah. Light some candles.
Yeah.
All that remains for me to say this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope you find your Melanie Ever After. Best I could do.
Fine.
Griffith.